Sorry, excuse me, give us a bit more of a clear workspace. Page 46. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much that we can come before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have made all things to us. Thank you that you are indeed our very life, that we may live, and that you have said, it's been said in your word, faithful is he which calleth thee, who also will do it. So, Lord, as we come to this matter of personal evangelism, we can feel, Lord, perhaps at times daunted. Lord, how do we reach people? How can we see people saved? But we thank you that it is you in us that does the work. So I pray you give us attentiveness now and wisdom, and that you would revive and warm our hearts, Lord, and that this would be a blessed time together, and that we'd learn much. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a deeper voice. Sound a bit like Brother Glenn Weeks, but a bit of sickness, but I'm on the way up, so I don't feel as bad as I sound. Page 46, and from memory we're up to point B, the must of conviction. Okay, and let me just recap a little bit here. Okay, there were, in the process of impersonal evangelism, five things. Sowing, okay, that's sowing the word, the gospel seed. Okay, it's not merely giving someone a good philosophy or feel-goodism or anything like that, but it is sowing the gospel seed, Christ's death, burial and resurrection. And then hearing, okay, for a person to get saved, they must hear the word, okay, and they must comprehend and understand what it is that you're sharing with them. They have to be able to take that and not only hear it just simply at a mental assent, but it's got to go into their heart. There's got to be conviction, okay, where the Spirit of God takes that message home and shows them that they are a sinner. Okay, then there must be repentance and faith, and then also regeneration as well. Okay, so we're in the point on, we're in the part on conviction. Okay, Holy Spirit's of Spirit conviction, and we've been through the meaning of conviction, page 45. In a court of law, a conviction means that a person has been proven guilty, the evidence has been presented, and the verdict is delivered, guilty as charged. Okay, in the process of salvation, conviction means the realization of an acknowledgement by a sinner that he's exactly all God says he is. Okay, a bit of a recap there. Okay, so God works on the person's conscience, brings them under conviction, okay, coming under the burden of their sin and seeing their need. Okay, conviction is the fruit of persuasion. So now the must of conviction here towards the bottom of page 46. If an unsaved man is not brought under true conviction, he will have no desire to be saved. Why should he? He sees no real need of Christ. He may have a superficial desire, okay, even a desire to escape judgment, okay, but not a true dealing with him as a sinner, okay, being saved and being cleansed. The soul winner must be wise enough to see what conviction is not. Okay, so there may be other things that you may see, and you might think, okay, the person's there, but they may not necessarily mean Holy Spirit conviction. So conviction is not present when there is a general acknowledgement of sin. Okay, now we need to acknowledge that we're sinners, but just simply a general acknowledgement of sin does not necessarily mean that that person is under conviction. Okay, they might say, yes, I'm a sinner, everyone is. No, I'm not perfect. Okay, nobody's perfect, so I'm not perfect either. General acknowledgement of it. They acknowledge the issue, but it's not really a big issue to them. Okay, yes, I'm a sinner, but they don't really care. They can tick that box, but they're not really convicted. I remember seeing a video clip of Ray Comfort, okay, speaking with a lady. He uses that we can't subscribe to, say, everything that he would believe in his ministry, such as his music and so forth. He's speaking with this lady, and you know, as he does, he uses the law, which is good, to try to draw that person to the Lord for salvation. And so he says to her, you know, partway through, he says, so you admit that you're a lying, thieving, blaspheming, whatever it was, or, you know, adulterer heart. And the lady there going, yes, 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 yes. And she's sort of laughing, and yes, that's not conviction. Okay? She obviously does not care less that she's a sinner. She can admit it, but doesn't care. She's not under conviction. Another conviction is not present when there is an attempt to excuse or justify oneself. I've done some bad things, but I'm not as bad as so and so. I know I've done wrong, but it's because of, okay, looking for an excuse, okay? I don't see myself as bad as someone else. Or I did the wrong thing, but it's not really my fault. Somebody else's fault that I did it. My mum made me like this. My dad made me like this. I wouldn't have been like this except for so-and-so, or because my wife broke up with me, or whatever it was. Not too long ago, speaking with an older couple in the place where they're living, in their lounge room, and going through the gospel with them and everything, and probably by a lot of people's standard, these people are, you know, pretty good sort of livers. You know, probably he's a man who worked quite hard over his life and so forth, and went through the gospel and showed them, you know, sin and everything and how we can't save ourselves, it's not by works and all that sort of thing, went through it all. And interesting, I saw him, elderly man, saw his disposition change towards the end there. And he said no. He said he didn't think that, no, he wouldn't be going to hell. I can't remember what it was, but basically, no, he didn't really see himself so bad as per the gospel. Yeah, so it seemed like we were getting somewhere with him, and then the old pride comes up and says no. Right? It's hard to say I have sinned and that I am bad, because he would see himself probably, as by most people's standards, a pretty good guy. And that's a big issue in Australia, okay, and probably in lots of places, is we generally like to see ourselves as good people. You ask the average Aussie guy, yep, I'm a good bloke. Yeah, no, I'm no saint, you know, I don't go to church or anything like that, but I'm a good bloke, okay? And self-deception. And when someone is trying to balance out their bad by saying I'm really not so bad, they're not under conviction. They're trying to make excuses for themselves. Other way around, sometimes people see God as having done wrong, even worse. Remember down the river one time, down Wapalonga way, and there was this pallet sitting down there near the river, and someone had written on the pallet, if there is a God, he will have to pray for my forgiveness. And in my naivety, looking at that, I thought, oh, here's someone who thinks that they are such a bad sinner, God would actually have to pray for them to be forgiven. And someone else, when we talked about it, said, no, it's actually someone who's bitter. It's the other way around. They're saying, if there's a God, he'll have to pray for my forgiveness. That was their hatred and their vehemence towards God. Someone who's gone the opposite end of the spectrum. So when someone is convicted, though, they're under the pressure of their sin, and they're not there to justify themselves or to call out accusations against God either. Okay, remember the rich young ruler? But he, willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbour? Okay, trying to justify himself. So the means of conviction now. Point C, a soul winner cannot produce conviction, neither should he attempt to do so, either by argument, logic, manipulation, or scripture bombardment. All the soul winner can do, having sown the seed, is to rely upon the supernatural agents of conviction. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't seek to persuade men, okay? We show them the facts, we try to persuade them, we try to show them their need of salvation, their need to trust Christ, but we cannot actually put someone under conviction, okay? I believe it was someone said to Mr. D.L. Moody, said, Mr. Moody, how can we get people under conviction? And he said, you can't, that's the job of the Holy Spirit, or that's the work of the Holy Spirit, so you can't do that, nor should we try to manipulate someone into a decision. Okay, I heard my mum talk about a crazy situation in the church that she at least visited in the US, from parents of Bible college, and the leader of the Sunday school said to all these children, and said, now we're going to get in the lift and we're going to go down to hell. This is the scare tactic used to the children. And then, of course, he gave an invitation. Well, of course, all the kids couldn't wait to get saved. All right? That's manipulation. That's bad. All right, don't do that. So the means of conviction, we cannot manipulate it, but what is the means of conviction? It comes through the Word of God. Let's have a bit of involvement here. Who can we have to read? Who has their Bible ready to go? Brother Tweedy, Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. Actually, you can read it straight off the notes. Sorry. It's right there. Easy done.
Naked and open unto
Okay, so it's the Word of God that brings about conviction. People can be quite apathetic. People aren't really thinking about their need. When they hear the preaching of the Word of God, and the Word of God goes right to their heart, that is when they come under conviction. Okay, so the Word of God exposes sin. Okay, it is a mirror. Okay, James 1:23. It is a searchlight. John 3:20-21. It is a spiritual X-ray machine. Hebrews 4:12. Okay, let's have some help with reading those. Brother Murray, if you read James 1:23, please. Sister Vicky, John 3:20-21, and Mrs. Balaka, Hebrews 4:12, please. And Alana, would you like to read Ephesians 6:17, please? Okay, and just feel free to go one after the other in a nice clear voice. Okay, yeah, so the Word of God's a mirror. It shows us who we are, not necessarily who we'd like to think we are, okay, but who we actually are.
John 3:20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Okay, so, a searchlight.
Hebrews 4:12.
Amen. Okay, spiritual X-ray machine. Then also the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Okay, and Blake, can you read 2 Timothy 4:2, please? Okay, so the Word of God is a weapon. Okay, we also have the weapon of prayer. It says here it's our only weapon, but we do also have that weapon of prayer as well. So it's through the Word of God, and it's also through the Spirit of God. John 16:8-11 says, and when he, the Comforter, that is come, he will reprove. Okay, and we see that means to convict, convince, tell a fault, rebuke, to bring to light. The world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Okay, so conviction is also through the Spirit of God. Now you've heard, some of you might have heard Dr. Jim Berg say that means of sanctification is where the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes someone like the Son of God. Okay, now in this matter of salvation, the Spirit of God has to take the Word of God home to the individual that they can be saved. So, through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit brings into the light the sins of men. This in turn results in conviction, a heartfelt acknowledgement of one's true lost condition before a thrice holy God. In his work with the lost, the Holy Spirit will convict men of the following. Firstly, of sin. A glass of water, please. Someone thinks. Excuse me. He will thoroughly test the facts against the Word of God. Ephesians 5:13 says, but all things that are approved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is life. Conviction of sin means the sinner will conclude, what I have done is sin in God's estimation. Okay, important. Now, people have their own estimations as to what is a big sin and what is a little sin. Okay, people have their own standards, their own ideas as to what they think is wrong, what they think is right, what they think is really bad, what they think is only a little bit bad. They've got all these ideas. Some people see their sin as being against people. Have you ever had that? And you might be talking to them and they have a lot of guilt or a lot of remorse about the way they've treated a family member or a friend or what they've done to other people, but they really aren't bothered about their sin towards God. Make sense? Thanks, Mother Will. They can have that sort of remorse that they've done that, and they feel bad about those sorts of things. What they've done to somebody else. They might feel guilt that they themselves have done it, and they feel bad about that. But as far as it being against God isn't a real concern to them. Okay, our crimes are against the God of the universe first and foremost. Okay, all sinism, regardless of whether we have sinned in a major sense as per society is concerned, or what they would see as a lesser way, we are all made level at the foot of the cross. So, of sin, he convicts of sin. He also convicts of righteousness. He will cause men to see they have fallen far short of the holy standard of God in Christ. James 2:9, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have spoken, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude 15. Conviction of righteousness means the sinner will conclude, my sin has separated me from God. Okay, and as I said, many people judge, or we say many people judge themselves by man's standards, not God's standards. Okay, if the sinner just looks at judges himself by man's standards, he can come up looking quite good. Okay, and a lot of people see themselves as being in that level of good people and not bad people, but they need to see that my sin has separated me from God. Okay, it will cause men to see they have fallen far short of the holy standard of God in Christ. Okay, so people are to measure themselves not by man's standards, but by God's standards. Okay, and see that I have fallen far short of God's glory, God's righteousness. That is the standard that I'm being measured against. And that can be hard for people to get that. They say, how is that fair? How is that fair that, the low-down, perverted, murderous people in the jails are on the same level as us when it comes to salvation? How is that fair that that guy can repent and trust Christ and receive forgiveness forever when he's so wicked? And someone else who barely does anything goes to hell, and they find that hard to work out. But when we judge ourselves by God's standard, we are all weighed and all wanting. Okay? Of judgment to come. He will cause men to see that Satan is judged, and that all who follow him will also be judged. Trent, could you please just read that off the notes there? 1 Timothy 5:24. Okay, conviction of judgment means the sinner will conclude, I justly deserve to die and go to hell. Okay, so that's what happens. If people align themselves with Satan in rebellion against God, then they also become partakers of judgment in hell. Okay, people don't need to be in rebellion against God, as in they can change from that. They can, by God's grace, they can repent and trust Christ and change sides from being a rebel. But some people, they hear the truth, and they choose to continue to be rebels. Right? You might think, oh, if only some people could just simply understand the truth, then they'd definitely get saved. Some people understand it and they don't want it. Okay, even in heathen tribes. If we could only go to some of those heathen tribes, and it's a good thing to do, surely, wouldn't everybody get saved if we just give them the truth? Right? You read something like, I think, Lords of the Earth or Peace Child. Yeah, what happened up there in Eerie and Jaya? Okay, it's gruesome reads, those books, but very good books to read on missions. And how some of those people, in all their heathen darkness and wickedness, even when people were getting saved, and all the horrors of the way that they would live, they turned from the light and still chose to rebel and go into darkness and ultimately into hell forever. Okay, very sad. Okay, but people don't need to, okay? If they will repent and trust Christ, they will not have to be aligned anymore with Satan and go to hell forever. Okay, now the manifestation of conviction. Point D, how do we know when someone's convicted? How do we know? What are some signs that we might see? Okay, now we've got to be careful with that. You can't always judge where a person is at. You've got to be led of the Spirit. Okay, with someone as you are dealing with them. Okay, but there may be some telltale signs that a person is coming under conviction. Okay, so don't miss this here. In some instances, it will be patently visible. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Acts 16:29. We see that account there of the Philippian jailer. Denisa, could you please read Acts 24:25? Okay, so very obvious that some people come under deep conviction, okay, and becomes manifested, even to where they may even tremble. Okay, you heard that that message that was preached: sin is in the hands of an angry God, and men clinging onto the pillars, feeling like they are going to fall into hell. Okay, so sometimes it will be patently obvious. Okay, very clear. People may be broken and weeping over their sin. Okay, and their need for Christ and for salvation. In other instances, sometimes people may cry in a service, but it may be an emotional thing. It may not always be conviction, okay? But sometimes people may cry under conviction. In other instances, it will be more subtle, okay? So it might be a little bit, some people may just be weighed down. There's a genuine sense there of the conviction of the Spirit of God, and they trust Christ, or perhaps just a few tears. Sometimes they may not cry, okay, but there may be more subtle, sometimes more overt. In all instances, it will include the following sentiments, okay? This is whether spoken or unspoken, okay? I have done wrong, okay? Sin, they know they're a sinner. They're not there justifying themselves. I have not measured up. Okay, God's holy, God's righteous. I certainly am not. Okay, and when someone's under conviction, genuine conviction, you're probably not going to have to try to haggle with them over these things and to be, you know, battling with them over it. Okay, they're done. Yes, I'm a sinner. I am deserving of hell. Okay, God's judgment. Okay, they're not there to argue, say, well, I don't really think I'm that bad. Okay, they know. Okay, I'll just read for you another verse here, just to help with this matter of conviction. Romans, in chapter 3. Oh, I think this is good. Romans 3:19-20 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Notice that there, that every mouth may be stopped. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, using the law, okay, the law being the schoolmaster to bring people to Christ, and by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, notice it says that every mouth may be stopped. Okay, and something I've heard my dad speak about, he said sometimes when you are sharing the gospel with someone, he said they will go deathly quiet. Okay, and that's the law doing its work. And I forget who it was, but somebody, well-known Christian from the past, he said if someone is talking, they're not ready to get saved. Okay, now he couldn't say that as a full blanket statement, but when someone's talking, and there might be an evidence there, there's no real conviction there. Okay, but when they go quiet, okay, and I've seen it happen at least once, okay, sharing the gospel with this man in Sydney. Now, this man, he was the type of man, he just could not stop talking. Come to Bible college sometimes, and, you know, he'd have to say something in class, and, I mean, he just could not, Ringwalds remember him, God bless him. Anyway, he just couldn't stop speaking. Just had to keep on talking and so forth. You know, and so the sort of guy, probably if you were trying to teach him something, it'd be hard to teach him because he'd want to keep interrupting and sort of thing. Anyway, just the Lord just seemed to put together one day at church. I mean, he was religious as such, this guy. And it's just something I think in his eyes just perhaps showed that he was a bit end of himself or whatever. Anyway, sat down and talk with him and to share with him, share the gospel with him through the stop tract. And I think he probably saw it more as, okay, you show me how to do this so I can do it for others. And so I started taking him through the stop tract and I started taking him through the law, and you usually give them the law and then ask them if they have committed that offence. And I think he started off by answering yes, and then he just went quiet. Mr. Motormouth didn't want to really talk anymore. And I didn't extract the answers from him, but I just gave them to him. I think I might have asked questions, and he was just there quiet. That is the law, smiting the person, Spirit of God taking that home, bringing them under conviction of sin. And, praise the Lord, went through this presentation, then both myself and my brother as well, both reasoned with him, and that to put his faith in Christ, and he did not believe the Lord saved him that day. And we could see the difference in this man following that. Okay, so if someone goes deathly quiet, it may be that the Spirit of God is taking the word home. Just remember that. It may be something that can be a help. Okay, next, the misprizing of conviction. Now, what do we mean? Okay, explain the alliteration. Misprize means to fall, to fail to appreciate the value of, undervalue, or disparage, to slight. Okay, so when people resist conviction. Conviction of sin is not the same as salvation. It is a necessary stepping stone to salvation, but Holy Spirit can be, one, resisted. Okay, contrary to the teachings of Calvinism and of Tulip, heretical philosophy out there, man has a free choice and, sadly, can say no when the Spirit of God is knocking on their door. Okay? Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did so. So do ye. Acts 7:51. Who are we up to? Could we have Sister Katharina? You read 2 Timothy 3:8 and Brother Prozemic, Isaiah 63:10. Okay, some of those people will be running from the conviction. Okay, they are under conviction and they're not yielding and they're afraid and they're on the run. Okay, a lot of you have probably heard Brother Glenn Weeks' testimony, Evangelist Glenn Weeks, and he tells about how he was under conviction that night. Okay, I think it might have been a Sunday, I think. And he'd been in church, and so he was under conviction, working as a police officer, went to the police station, and he didn't want to leave and be on his own. He's under this conviction. Got in his car, took off down the road, speeding, under conviction. Okay, and then you know the rest of the story, pulled the car over. Okay, the Lord spoke to him through the Psalms and he got gloriously saved. Okay, but sometimes people can run from conviction, they can resist it and not want to submit to it. It can be rejected. Having been made a partaker of the Holy Ghost through his work of convicting men, a sinner can still fall away from the truth of the gospel. Who are we up to? Brother Seth, could you read Hebrews 6, 4-6, please? Okay, so there's a person has come in, they've come in close to the lights, they've heard the gospel, and then they've turned away again. Okay? Terrible thing. And they've rejected it. The danger with rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit is to become guilty of willful sin. Sharice, Hebrews 10, 26-27, please. Okay, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, Genesis 6:3. So, okay, again, contrary to Calvinistic Reformed theologies, okay, man has a free choice. Okay, 4, repentance and faith. Let me just recap. So there's the process in professional management, the sowing of the seed. Okay, so, and we do that audibly. Okay, Then there's the hearing of the word and the conviction of the Spirit of God. So you as the soul winner go to the person or out there, or whether it be in front of a group or to an individual, and you orally cast that seed. It's orally, verbally cast that seed. It's orally received to the soil of the heart, and the Spirit of God then brings about conviction. So repentance and faith belong to the human side of salvation, that they are man's response to the preaching of the gospel. Repentance and faith are required of the sinner in order to receive the gift of salvation. Now, we're going to be dealing with repentance in another lesson, okay? But there is a resistance out there today to the doctrine of repentance, okay? But it is necessary, okay? But we'll get to that in another lesson, okay? We're going to be dealing with the matter of faith, okay? But some verses here, Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, Hebrews 6:1. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. They are two sides of one coin. They are inseparable. Okay, so now the matter of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. As seeing him who is invisible, Hebrews 11:27. Now, faith is believing God's word and acting upon it. Let me say that again. Faith is believing God's word and acting upon it. Okay, we receive the gospel of faith. You can reason with someone, give them apologetics, give them the gospel. They might have questions, but eventually, if they are to be saved, they have to, by faith, cast themselves upon the mercy of God, believing that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For by grace are you received the gospel by faith, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All right, I've got a lot of references here. Let me just read. Okay. See if we can get through some of them actually. Christine, could you do Romans 3:28? John, please do 5:1. Hanny, Galatians 3:24-26, Corinne, Ephesians 3:17, and Mrs. Curry, Philippians 3:9. And I have another one here, Hebrews 11:6, please, Mary. Verse 26. That's okay, number one, what saving faith is. Faith is believing, and believing is receiving. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe means to accept, to trust, to depend, / rely upon, and to commit to. Okay, a good illustration. A chair. You see, I'll see this chair here. Okay, looks like a good chair. Looks like it's a good construction. I believe that if I sat on that, I believe that it would hold me. Okay, sit on it. I believe it. I believe it will. I trust that it would. Okay, faith is when you sit in it, okay, and you trust yourself to it. Harry Houdini had a tightrope going across Niagara Falls, and go out and do things on the tightrope, okay, for a show for people. And I understand that he actually ended up taking someone across in a wheelbarrow. And it was the person who opted to go into the wheelbarrow who really believed that he could do it. Everyone else said, yeah, we believe you can do it, but I don't think there were so many volunteers that day. understandably. But true, the person who believes then trusts, okay? And people can look at what Christ has done for them, and they say they believe it, but they have not yet trusted him. And they must do that. Faith is believing is receiving. Saving faith means a sinner accepts and believes what God says about, okay, top of page 50, him. That he is a sinner lost and hellbound, okay? Yes, I'm guilty as charged. They believe what God's word says about Jesus Christ, that he is the only Lord and Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. They believe the gospel, the sufficiency of the finished work of Christ, and that's through his death, burial and resurrection. They must believe that. And you may need to check that with someone. Do you believe that Christ rose from the dead? Okay, I was speaking with someone once, and looked like we're going through that, and then we hit the resurrection, and there was an issue. Okay, you have to believe the gospel if you're going to get saved. And the way of salvation, that Christ is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, absolute narrow door. Okay, only through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And people grapple with that. Human reason grapples with that. They say, oh, but what about all these people in the country? Okay, relative of mine, changing her mind about this, saying, you know, I see all these people, you know, these Muslims and so forth, and, you know, they're worshipping their Allah and trying to, you know, I would think that they would go to heaven. Not according to Scripture. Okay? Jesus is the only way. Okay? And there's people out there say there's many ways, or you can go various ways, but there's only one way. Okay? Christ is the only hope for people. Okay? And any other way is a false way, and it leads to the same place, which is hell. Okay? Only Christ is the only way. Saving faith means a sinner has acted upon his belief by calling, confessing upon the Lord to save him. It is the appropriating of the gospel to himself, the committed unto him of 2 Timothy 1:12, or the embraced and confessed of Hebrews 11:13. Okay? And that's when, so a way a person can do that, okay, believe upon Christ and act upon that is when they call upon him. Okay? God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's when they can be saved. But what saith it? The word is neither even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hebrews 4:1-3, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Okay, almost out of time, but what saving faith is not? Faith is not well understood terms in present day thinking. For this reason, it is important for anyone engaged in personal evangelism to recognize the false concepts of faith and to properly explain biblical faith. Okay, saving faith is not a mental assent to a set of facts. A belief is in something is not in and of itself faith. A lost person can believe biblical truth, James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Acts 26:27-28. Okay, so people can believe certain things. They may even have a measure of belief in the gospel, but they have not yet trusted Christ. Okay, believing Jesus actually lived on the earth is no different than believing George Washington really existed and was the first president of the United States of America. Acknowledging historical facts to be true is commendable, but that kind of intellectual assent is not going to affect or change a person's life in the here and now. Okay, My father-in-law is a confirmed Lutheran, and been through his confirmation, and he knew that Jesus Christ was the Saviour of the world, but he had not placed his personal faith in him for salvation. Okay, it was several years, about 30-odd years ago, I think, at Maryland's Baptist Church, that's when Jesus Christ became his personal Saviour. Okay, so someone can believe things, they may believe the gospel, may even believe that Jesus is the Saviour of the world, but they must place their faith in him for salvation. Okay, we'd like to go on a bit further, but we're out of time. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this course of personal evangelism. Make us all to be soul winners, Lord Jesus, as we follow you. We do pray, and we thank you for enabling at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.